Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Breaking down the new client PED stack design. And I've had this question pop up quite a bit around when you have someone come in. Where are you starting them off at for their PEDs? What do you need to look at prior to them coming in with you and adjusting that design for progress and risk and everything that goes along with it? So that's what Luke and I are going to jump in today for when you have clients or yourself. This could even be applicable to even if you don't coach, if you've had past usage, what things might you be considering for this next time you're going to be using PEDs?
Yeah, I really like this conversation because you're going to get people all over the board with this, with a different variety of things we'll cover today. But I tend to lean towards how good of an athlete are they first, like very quickly out of the gate, getting an understanding in that onboarding process of what does execution of the controllable variables look like before I even dive into the PEDs. Because that really starts to set the framework of how much of a development process do I have with this client that actually even warrants risk being taken on the PED side, right? Like I think there's so much progress to be had as an athlete in executing nutrition extremely well and becoming an experienced dieter. You know, there's so much progress to be had in regards to mastering the core stimulus that drives hypertrophy in training. Like I don't get why like people become drug experts and they can't even lift with either A, a high level of intensity, or B, just a high level of execution. And so like, and then sleep or schedule, like that's going to be such a rate limiter for people. So I really dive into that like immediately, and like asking for training videos as a part of onboarding. And that's like where I spend a lot of time off the forefront, especially when we have intake on a client, because I need to know how much development this client needs to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a few things that I'm thinking along the way, because that's one is like what level they coming in from, right? If and the level almost doesn't matter, but it does to a degree, right? If they're a new amateur or a pro level competitor, and then I need to rate that experience level though really based off training, like you said. I don't want to know, you know, it gives you an idea of how long they've been doing it for and the level they've progressed at. It might give you some idea around the response too, but really what I want to see is what has training progress been within the current phase? And that current phase for some people, I need to monitor it before we really do anything. So a lot of people might come in like, oh yeah, currently I'm cruising on, you know, whatever, 300 milligrams of this. I'm like, how long has that been? What was the last thing that was run from there? And then send me your training footage. And I will base a lot off when I see them train. Or a lot of times I'll just look them up on Instagram and I'll see how they train. And I can get a real quick grasp on if they're maximizing that stimulus in the gym. And then also looking at progress from a week-to-week basis, right? Like, a beginner, you might see progress, you know, every session, the logbook's going up. Someone that's extremely advanced, it might be just slowly ticking by. And based on where the logbook progression is and also how they've been executing that training will determine a lot of what I want to do with their compound usage currently based on what I've saw in the past. And to kind of give that more explanation, if I had someone to give an example, like if I had someone that training wise I see slow progression but also see very poor quality, then I'm going to know that I can improve the quality of their training and I don't need to take them there gear wise. So that's the situation where you see someone that's been very high gear in the past, but you can improve the quality of their variables so much where I don't want to dictate my next PED cycle off what they did in the past, because it just doesn't have relation to what we're going to be doing going forward. And so that is the case of like, can you go back once you've been on high dosages? And yes, Now, there is another case where it's rare, right, where someone has done everything right, and you could quickly, like, say, okay, it's just time to bump up everything a little bit. But that does happen. So I think, yeah, what they were previously doing and looking at training progress is going to just dictate where I go. But a lot of times I want to see out what we could really do before jumping in. And like a lot of people want to jump on to coaching when they can jump on cycle. And that's not usually what I do at all, because I want to see what they can do on their own with keeping some variables constant.
Yeah. And I think what you pointed out as far as what has gotten them to this point is why I dig into that so quickly, because it really gives me a vector of like, how much further can I take them to? Because if they've had high exposure to compounds and they're extremely efficient at executing training and nutrition, and they do that at a high level, and they're coming to you saying, I want to be, you know, a top three Olympian, but they haven't even turned pro yet, and they've been doing it for 10 years like that. It's like, there's an expectation management conversation to be had within that of like, you know, well, this is, I mean, you've been doing this really well. Like, we can further improve potentially, but like, it really sets the expectation management conversation for me is why I dive into that, because it's to the point that I will push back an off-season escalation phase to fix the baseline variables so that the off-season escalation phase is done in a more efficient manner. That's another reason why I do it as well, is I need to create an efficient athlete before I ask the athlete to improve at their maximal rate. And so this is why, like, immediately upon onboarding, that's like going to be the first thing. But once you've done that, I think health has to be the initial question in regards to lab work. You know, how well have you monitored that, things along those lines. How do you go about that? Because I know there's a big hurdle to jump for people in different countries of like access to lab work and depending on where they're at and things along those lines, because I think that's potentially the next portion of that conversation once you go from assessing where the athlete's at.
Yeah. And so everyone listening to, a lot of these questions are what we're trying to build out for a timeline for someone of what they're coming to us with long-term. Cause like what Luke just brought up, with a client that's pushed all the variables up high, it's like, well, what's that timeline look like for the next 5 years for this person? It's like, well, do you want to keep doing this for 5 years? That might be a question for that person. Or they're not going to really change stage weight. It's not a 3 month off season, right? It might be a much longer extended period of time just because growth is coming slow now. They need to sit in that phase for a long time. It might be an earlier on guy who's just responding crazy. It's like, well, yeah, we can get on stage relatively pretty quick. So that's starting to dictate the timeline around response. But then this next component too is also dictating our timeline is health. And you might have some people arrive on all different spectrums, right? Great health markers and managed well, or you have someone very deranged and actually is coming to you to get fixed. And then that's dictating the timeline of what we would do next for scheduling out competition, but also scheduling out what that next phase is going to be. And so like for someone that's say really health deranged, that might be, hey, we're having to pull you back down to a very lowest baseline we can to restore those health markers. While someone else with like really good health markers, it might be fine to go ahead and move on up the PD scale and go into an off-season push phase, and that might lead that. But as far as assessing, I like to see at least off the assessment form and ask, like, send me your latest serum lab work or your analysis as well, if you have that. Some might have it. Some might say they haven't had it done in over 6 months. And depending on where they're coming from in the phase, it's like, hey, I just ended an escalation phase with PEDs. It's like, well, man, we really need to pull some labs to see where you're at. And I realize in certain countries, like that's going to be harder to do than others. So we do the best we can, because at least in a lot of the countries I've coached, there's at least some health markers we could pull off from lab work, or we might just need to plan more strategically of like, we only get these done a few times a year. So we need to plan when we're really going to be pulling them. then there's other things that we can look at too. Like, I want to see a current blood pressure, or if they've ever monitored that before. That's an easier one to check. Medical conditions and family history. That could give you some insight too around, you know, did you have a parent die in their 50s of a heart attack? Like, all right, well, that might present a lot of risk for yourself to continue being a high user of PDs. Then we could look at other, like, you know, medications they might be on, or their supplement regimen that they have or have not been doing. So that can give you insight too of how well are they doing the prophylactic strategies needed around PD usage. And I think just prompting those type of questions, you'll quickly see someone that's been taking care of themselves, or ones that have not. Even some of the other things will cater into that. Like, let me see your past diet. And I see, like, there's, like, no fruits and vegetables on there, which is, like, my crux of, like, you know, or, like, what do you currently do for cardio? Like, oh, not doing any cardio. It's like, okay. Then we might even have a resting heart rate in there as well. So, you know, there's a few things that we could track that might be easier access-wise, but depending on how that looks and the phase that that person is coming in would probably dictate what we did before. And we see, you know, a lot of guys, they wait till they pull their labs when they have, like, maybe the most pristine lab work possible. That's like, all right, I'm good to go. Let's go blast again. It's like, man, you had good labs for like a day and now you're going right back in. But that a lot of what we do is going to be realistically around how much risk someone wants to accept and the goal at hand. You know, you're going to work with some people that health markers might stay a little deranged for the chunk of their career because they're at that level. And that's the acceptance of what we're doing here. I would say, like, the highest level guys are pretty resilient to side effects and health marker derangement. So that's where you have to weigh it all out as a coach of the, what Luke was talking about earlier, like, you know, potential that might be able to pull out in progress, the current usage, and how that person responds, not just training-wise, but also health-wise. And so we have to look at all those things, and that's going to guide the next phase of what we do, the timeline of that phase, and then probably end up taking us from there if it is someone that is ready to start pushing up, what we do PED-wise next, and that's going to be looking at what was previously done.
Yeah, I will say, just one add-on to the lab work conversation is the financial component of, like, ensuring they're prioritizing the financial means to be able to do that, because, like, there are people who will financially invest a ton into getting PEDs and just say, I can't afford it. It's like, you've got this backwards. Like, this is not how that's not the direction this works. So I asked the questions around the lab work to get an understanding of there needs to be a reframing conversation for a client kind of coming in. But that's just more of an emotional intelligence type of a question than anything else, of like understanding where that person's coming in from a priority standpoint, right? I think that kind of brings us into what to use / access relative to kind of like deploying PEDs. And asking the questions on the previous PD plans of, you know, was what was used just based off like recommendations, or was it what you just strictly had access to, or like some of the logic behind the PED usage? Because you're going to get everything from like, it's what I was told to do, to this is a personal preference, to this is all I had in hand, or this is all I had access to. And that can really start to change how you move forward in from like an escalation phase standpoint and mapping out the timeline. I have a client who strictly wants to use like clinical, like prescriptions, right?
Yeah.
And that really limits, one, compound load, like how high we can escalate within that. But two, like what we can actually use. Like there's like three that I would, you know, probably plug and play. And so those timelines look way different than people on the other side of the spectrum that are running normal escalation phases and everything along those lines. Those all season phases are lengthwise different because the peaks aren't hitting as high. It's just, that's a big portion of the conversation. So I do ask within that initial form, like, where was the logic or reasoning behind what was put in play so that I understand where they're coming from on those fronts.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to dig farther, I mean, you could ask them like, hey, maybe they had past like stage weight, stage picks, or I usually ask for stage picks from their last show. And then even from their off season, if you wanted to, and then you could see like, what does that progress look like off what they're claiming they did and claiming, right? Cause could it be under or over reporting on gear? Maybe under, depending. But then also like, what was that duration of time that they used for? And what are we seeing that look of progress tied in with all the other factors we already mentioned, their nutrition, training, et cetera, to dictate that was a good response off that dosage or not. We also might just ask the client too, like, did that past cycle meet your expectations for physique progress? And they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I just blew up, man. I gained like all this strength and it was amazing. Or you might have someone say like, oh, it was kind of limited. Maybe they had this coach and that wasn't like based on like what they had done in the past. And it was just what was given to them. So maybe just having more of that conversation too, of like, what does the client have to say around it? I also would want to know not just on what the results would look like, but the side effects issues with past usage. That might be where clients are coming to you as well, that they might already have some insight into compounds that could be problematic for them or what they've noticed side effect wise. And maybe they just accepted it as that is what it is, but maybe there's a workaround for us too. And maybe that's not something that we necessarily need to accept and we could make a modification around that. So I look at those issues that have cropped up and see, based on what compounds have been selected, where that might be coming from and how we might be arranging stack design instead. Then I also look for if there's been other synergies presented within just steroid usage. Because you have a lot of people that maybe they've only used anabolic steroids and not coupled with growth hormone or insulin or clenbuterol or whatever you want to combine these things with. So maybe I could pull back the anabolic steroid load and bring in some other non-androgens that we could build some synergies off of to facilitate that progress with a little bit lowering of risk. So that might guide some of that too.
This is where I have the conversation of reframing as well, because you'll get people in this breadth. Oh, I don't use growth hormone because of I'm not ready for it or XYZ reason, right? And this is potentially where the education piece of a coach is huge. I think there's a role in a coach to educate the client on why things are used. And this is where that kind of role plays for me is asking those questions you just kind of laid out to understand, one, have synergies been used at all? If not, okay, that's an opportunity to improve upon potentially not needing more load on an androgen side. You just need to improve some of the synergies that are being used to progress that client. But are there things that we need to combat from a misunderstanding standpoint as well of these compounds too?
Yeah. I think that's a huge piece of it too. They might not have used things if you just looked on paper without asking them. They might have avoided things or had things in place just from being naive about it, not educated in the past. So how do you know unless you actually ask? The another thing that I would point out is, and especially with the female population, is, you know, what area of your health or your femininity are you not willing to sacrifice? What's important to you? And for females, that might be, hey, my voice, like there's no compromise there. Like, so that might dictate the risk that we're going to accept and also the tools that we need to really prioritize to monitor that client for what that issue may be. So it's voice, say or female, then maybe we're using some type of voice analyzer app to make sure we track that over time and we don't compromise on that. Maybe it's fertility for a guy and ability to have children. So how are we going to monitor that? And what things should we have in place as well over time? So that kind of dictates personalizing the PED design to you around what's important for that person, you know, health-wise and long-term wise.
In that same breath, if you do coach females that don't care about it, because there are those competitors out there, that doesn't mean they don't care about their actual health metrics, right? Like side effects versus like actual monitoring of health metrics can be two different conversations. And, you know, because there are females out there that don't care, and it doesn't mean you throw the baby out with bathwater, right? You still have a lot of monitoring that needs to happen, but you just accept a slightly higher risk profile within that.
Yeah, you know, and it's also, I look at, there's an athlete development aspect, but like you mentioned this earlier, like an emotional maturity aspect too, of that. You could get an answer from a client of how risk adverse they are, but might not be accurate based on like their current, you know, emotional development level as just as an adult versus a child. So I was just reading like, you know, the males, we don't fully reach full brain development till around 25 years of age. So actual emotional maturity until this age. So you're looking at which makes sense, right? Hey, sub 20s, you're still very immature, low 20s, probably highly risk adverse, maybe not the best position to make decisions. You're also in a environment in life that's very variable. You haven't really established who you are in the world yet. Maybe you're in school and trying to figure all these things out. And so to add steroids into a time like that, when also someone doesn't have full brain development, and is also more risk adverse, you might be at the end of that journey, 30 years old, realizing, oh, damn, I actually wanted to have children. I wish I knew that risk. Or I wish someone maybe escalated me up a little slower. So as a coach, you might have to make the choice of, this is what the client tells me, but based around their age and maturity, I know I need to keep things pulled back until I see that emotional development side along with the athlete development side too. Same with females, like, hey, I never want kids. And how many people do you know that have said they never want kids and then now they have like three or four kids? So you'd hate to be the one that like, well, that's what you told me, then you took that away from that person. So again, we're working in a gray area of ethical and morality dilemmas. Some are more conservative, some are more liberal, and some will do what it takes. But again, as a coach, that's up to you where you want to lie within that spectrum and what you're okay with doing. But I think regardless, you still have some responsibility to protect your clients and those that are more risk adverse, really assessing them well to see how far you want to push that envelope off the front end.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that really covers kind of top to bottom what you're doing upon intake with someone to then make those decisions around PEDs. I think further decision-making on PEDs is like within the conversations we have about compound deployment, all that. And that's kind
specific dosing and compound choice. And
yeah, that's different.
And we have plenty of other topics and podcasts around that, but that's kind of where that would go. But at least what I wanted y'all to gain was hearing our thought process out loud of all the things that we're trying to thread together to build a picture of where this athlete's coming from, where they're at currently, and where we need to take them to, not just short term, but also long term. And that's the quick summation of what that whole thought process is happening. And it's not so clear cut because it just really isn't. That's what we become coaches and have the art of coaching that does take time and experience, because it's not like X, Y, and Z are lined up and you're going to do A. You're having to look at all these variables and paint this picture. And then you'll step back and you'll have clarity of what the picture is and where to go. So it's a bit complicated, but it's also why we teach in J3U the framework of thought, and that's what's going to make you a really good coach or a good athlete, not just giving out protocols. So that's what this was all about, not giving the protocol of what to do with new clients, but trying to give you the thought process and decision-making of what to do. But anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.